Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been here now. This is like my fourth time. And I have been searching for, since I dismissed myself from my job I had at the chapel. And I haven't had a home church. And Doug and Craig were kind enough to ask me here. My thoughts have always been to find a religion that I could live with, not someone that told me who I had to be, who I should love, and who I should ignore and avoid. I find that very welcoming here. It's something that is very dear to my heart, and as I get older, this is what I want. Otherwise, I have been holding my own service at home for the last 2.5 years. I read my Bible in the morning for about half an hour, and I try and read it out loud because I don't hear it if I read it silently. I've got to hear what's being said, and the message comes across clearly then. So when I volunteered to give this talk, I thought about the philosophy that I uphold, which is transcendentalism. And of course, I was introduced to it in a very shallow way, through transcendental meditation. But it's a lot more than that. It is a belief in the respect of all life, not just human life, but all life. It is worthy and valuable. So I have always been a lover of nature and all its inhabitants. It never occurred to me that there was a philosophy that pertained to those feelings of mine. I never expressed them out loud. I was so insecure as to how I might be perceived. So it grandly surprised me that I was not alone, but that there were others with the same thoughts, and that they had devised a philosophy they called transcendentalism, from the Latin loosely meaning overpassing. In other words, transcendentalism means that you overlook all the faults everybody else points out to you. You just see the beauty and the love in front of you. It's basically idealistic concepts were borrowed from Immanuel Kant. He was a German who was born during the Hanseatic League, when Germany controlled all of the North Sea area. He was born in a place that's called Kalenenburg. That is an enclave that Russia has held on to. It's between Latvia and Lithuania. And he was schooled there. He was a minor royalty there. And he was a great philosopher who influenced many writers, particularly American and English writers. The basic idealistic concepts were borrowed from Immanuel Kant, who held that there are modes of being and principles of existence beyond the reach of mundane experience and our manipulation of it. To Kant, our perception of sense data depends on a priori intuition, which includes conception of space and time, and categories of judgment of space and time, which our intuitive mind observes as our reality. And of course, that reality, as you probably know, we're all old enough to know it, is very different individually, which is why there's arguments, upsetting things happening in your life, because our reality is real to us. Our job becomes to convince somebody else of that reality, which is futile. And you know that. You're asking for an argument right then and there. To Kant, transcendental refers to conditions necessary for the possibility of an experience, while transcendent, or overpassing, he refers to a noumenon, something unknowable and beyond the realm of us possibly experiencing. This is the basis of transcendentalism, that the American understanding of transcendentalism is when, like Thoreau and Emerson, used it in their response to the New Englanders' Calvinism, which of course Calvinism is very judgmental and everybody's going to burn and go to hell. So that was their response, transcendentalism. Thoreau and Emerson were the earliest. Thoreau wrote in 1836, and they were the proponents that all life, being one life, is equally valuable, no more less or no more so. Be it Pooley Dog or your cat at home, all life is equally valuable. It was in search of a spiritual and intellectual vitality that I wound up here. The impact on American literature was great. It greatly influenced Hawthorne, Melville, and Whitman. And as to Whitman, I picked something because I like Whitman. And it's short. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read the first three stanzas of it. It's only six, but that's too much reading. Afoot and lighthearted, I take to the open road, healthy, free, the world before me, the long brown path before me leading wherever I choose. Henceforth, I ask not good fortune. I myself am good fortune. Henceforth, I whimper no more, postpone no more, need nothing. Done with indoor complaints, libraries, querulous criticisms, strong and content, I travel the open road. The earth, that is sufficient. I do not want the constellations any nearer. I know they are very well where they are. I know they suffice for those who belong to them. Still, here I carry my old delicious burdens. I carry them, men and women. I carry them with me wherever I go. I swear it is impossible for me to get rid of them. I am filled with them, and I will fill them in return. I found myself here at the Spiritual Light Center trying to figure out where in the spectrum of my religious search I was, and where I'd studied and how it fit. And transcendentalism is the closest fit as to what I've experienced here. I get disappointed in all mainstream religions because they dilute the message of the teachers. They founded those creeds, but they make them into gods. These gods are teachers. They are not the creator, which is what the fallacy of all main religion is. Jesus Christ, Buddha, you name them, they have become gods. They are not gods. And if you read their books, and not Jesus didn't write anything. His followers did. Buddha didn't write anything. His followers did. But if you listen to the message that's written, they tell you, you can be as great or greater than I am if you listen, if you hold quiet and pray. So, no, they're not God. I go to churches that proclaim that that is God incarnate. They're fools. And I refuse to join that crowd. If you read any of the books, they tell you that they were searching for a truth. And what they teach you is their journey to that truth. I had to write this down because you can speak hours on this stuff, so you've got to condense it some. The Sanskrit Vedas and Buddha and Jesus all deny being God, but claim of certain knowledge as to how we too can attain that portion of knowledge and truth that they attained. They also tell that since we are all individuals, our journey will be approximate, but not the same. So do not judge yourself from those scriptures. They're not meant for that. They're meant to guide you, not to lead you. It'll encompass our history more, for we are more than the circumstances of our reality. To live authentically and independently, we are to be aware of the interconnectedness of all life. And our life is, if you pay attention, especially in this cold weather in your home, look at the birds, the squirrels outside. They're trying as hard as you are to stay alive. They're trying as hard as you are to be fed. And nobody can tell you any differently. You're aware of that. And it humbles me to see that, because we take it for granted that God will take care of them. Sometimes because we have abused the landscape, the natural world they live in, they don't have the means of shelter or food. And like where I live, where a lot of the forest has been depleted, and what is not depleted has been taken over and paved. Even though sometimes I feel I don't have the means, I buy supplies for them, and I put it out. This morning I got up extra early to feed the squirrels and the birds and everything else, and then I got myself ready to come out and see the world. Finally, many of us become aware and became aware of transcendentalism in the 60s. Hooray for love, remember? When the Beatles went into India and Macmillan told us about, you know, what the world is love. And some songs are written and they become sort of anthems for the young people who are now us, you know, people from the 60s up to the 80s, it's become us. And they were returned and they were followed by the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. If you remember him, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare. I remember that too. I lived in San Francisco at the time in the early 60s. This is before I moved here south. And it stresses a natural meditation and the mentally liberating pleasures to achieve higher levels of consciousness. Its mystical aspects are in part influenced by Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism. The chief belief is that God is immanent. In other words, God is in all of us. And it's how we express ourselves that God expresses himself. And that is why God can be cruel. God can be mean. And that is just that part of you that is God coming out of you, not of some white-haired man up in a cloud somewhere. It comes from within yourself. This is why you have to be very careful when you are particularly with family or strangers, what you say, because those words can hurt, and hurt more than a paper cut. It's not easy to bandage. The hurt is there forever. Nature and that, okay, the chief belief is that God is immanent in humans and nature, and that our individual intuition is the highest source of all knowledge. And have you ever run into a problem at home and your usual reliable person who answers and knows how to fix that isn't there? Haven't you figured it out on your own? And that is a natural, intuitive thing that God has given us and that God is within us. It's been within us all our time, but it's when we don't have that handy person around to take care of it for us that we are on our own and we discover, hey, I know that too. And it's a godsend for me because I have been alone now for 5 years and my little dog left me 2 years ago, so I can't even converse with him. So it's a great feeling to know that within me, I hold everything that I need, other than, of course, my physical sustenance. That is the source that has led mankind to an optimistic emphasis on our individualism, self-reliance, and rejection of traditional authority. And to that, I say, amen. Thank you.